Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. Please be seated. As I've already mentioned, we are currently in the middle of our five-week series on bread. Now, we started a couple weeks ago with Jesus feeding the 5,000, and last week, those same people that were fed come to ask Jesus what he is going to do to show them that he is who he says he is. They are looking for a sign and proving that they, like us, continue to be hungry for that which comes from God. Now, the lectionary last week ended with verse 35, and that's right where we pick up this week. Verse 35 serves as a pivot into now considering what life looks like when we receive this bread from heaven that is Jesus Christ. And we ask, what does it mean for Jesus Christ to be this bread? Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week, so just a little teaser there, because we kind of move backwards here. This week, we're more focused on what happens when one partakes in this bread and is less concerned about how this can even be possible. But it brings up some interesting thoughts about bread. Now, some of you may know that I love to cook, right? I love to grill outside in the summer and make soups in the winter. And not to brag too much, but if you've come to one of our potlucks, then you probably had the best darn chili that you've ever had in your life, made by yours truly. And I enjoy cooking so much because I tend to just throw a bunch of things together, and I rarely measure what I'm doing. I just know what I like and what tastes good together. Now, this doesn't translate very well to baking. I don't have the same patience for baking because there is much more precision and science behind it. And I always mess it up, and this is why we leave Paige to do the baking in our house and I do the eating of it. But baking is so incredible, and I'm amazed by anybody who has taken the time to perfect it, especially those who specialize in bread. Now, there is so much going on chemically and biologically when it comes to turning this flour, water, salt, and yeast into bread. Let's just think about sourdough for a moment. Sourdough is almost like the zombie of bread that's living and breathing on your counter, you know, because it rises. Zombie, you know, because it rises. Anyway, because I like cooking and the spies in my phone are always listening, they showed me a video about sourdough this last week where this guy was complaining about those who claim that they have a sourdough starter that is hundreds of years old. And he explains that it's no longer the same sourdough because of some of the biology around sourdough. How the flavor of the sourdough has a lot to do with the environment that it is in. The starter is apparently very receptive to what's in the air, and it changes the whole culture and taste of the bread. He explained that if you were to take a starter from San Francisco all the way to New York, that within a few weeks, the strains of the New York sourdough would be more than what is from San Francisco. It'll look more like a starter that originally started in New York than one from San Francisco. And now you're probably wondering at this point, is this guy ever going to stop talking about bread? No. No, I'm not. We still have about 2 weeks of this, so buckle in. Now, the biodiversity found in sourdough is just one way of looking at how Jesus Christ is the bread of life. For all can be found when looking towards Jesus on the cross. Or rather, Jesus can be found in each person you come across. Jesus is infinitely translatable across time, across culture and across place. It means that Jesus Christ that is for you is also for the person sitting next to you, whether you like them or not. Hopefully you like them. Even as Jesus is understood in and among different people, there is the truth that remains that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. There are many people that I do not agree with, especially those who sow chaos, hatred, fear, and violence. And there are those I disagree with on matter of theology. That's why we have so many different denominations. That's why we have two different Lutheran churches just 10 feet away from each other. But this disagreement, it does not have to turn into hatred. While there are those who are committing great injustices in disregarding the innate humanity and love bestowed upon us by God through Jesus Christ on the cross, we do not act in retaliation. Yes, it is right for us to be angry when we see those who scoff at the love of God that is for all people. But we do not resort to violence. Be angry, we read in Ephesians, but do not sin. In a time of divisive politics, we do not resort to bullying. In a time of disagreement, we do well to avoid violence for the sake of all people. We can be uncomfortable without attacking one another. Social media and the internet has made it really easy to bully, attack, or harass somebody online without facing the consequences of those actions. We can be uncomfortable, but we don't need to stoop to other people's level. But I do want to be clear. This does not mean that you should tolerate another person's abuses or disrespect either. Following in Jesus' example, or to use the words from Ephesians again, as imitators of God, we do as Jesus and act out of love. When those who disagreed with Jesus attacked, he did not retaliate, but instead he says, "Father, forgive them," before taking his last breath. Jesus' death was a cry for unity, not uniformity, but it's saying that we should all be the exact same or think the exact same, but unity, that we should find ways to work together out of lifting one another up so that we might succeed together as the body of Jesus Christ. When Scripture says that it is in him that we have eternal life, now we need to be clear in our understanding, this does not mean immortality, right? Jesus himself goes to the cross and dies. Eternal life, it's about how we live. It's the argument of quality over quantity, right? The goal isn't to live the longest, but it's to have a life that is lived to the fullest. And this isn't for some far off future either. The Greek here for having eternal life isn't that you will have eternal life. It's that you have eternal life. Whoever believes, the scripture says, has eternal life already. If you believe that you have this eternal life, then you are already living into it. To have eternal life is to be in relationship with God. In relationship with God, we find ourselves in relationship with all things, with all people, and with a creation that is so big. When we are in relationship with creation, then we start to see how our actions, how our words can be used to harm, and how they can be used to heal as well all that is around us. In fact, we are called to more than just relationship, but we are called into companionship, to create a global shalom, a heavenly peace. Now, companion literally means to break bread with one another. And we're back to bread. Our companionship, our breaking the bread together that is Jesus Christ, can heal many things. I once said in a sermon back in May that it is our fear that leads to anger, that leads to hate, that leads to suffering. And what if the opposite is true? That in our relationship with God, we find that trust, that our belief and our faith lead to love. And this love leads to hope, abiding hope. And this hope leads us all towards eternal life in and through Jesus Christ, our bread of life. Amen. Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell in the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.